All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Before we went to break, I was talking about the hearings that January 6th committee that are finally going to be made public. Many of us have been waiting a long time. But before I go there, so Sam, I remember I'm the kind of guy that's not fearful of much. And, you know, I'll generally walk into hell with a gasoline jacket on. I'm just not that terrified of things. So I remember there was this group, and not group, I mean, it was just unbelievable. The Trumpkins showed up in the city of Milwaukee on Highway 100 and Mayfair Road. And I said, I'm going to see them. And people warned me. I've never been afraid of much of anything, right? And so I went there, and these folk had taken over several miles.
There's more of them around here than you think.
Yeah.
I know, it's crazy.
So you've seen some of that?
I have seen too much.
Yeah, and I did not, I couldn't believe how many people there were. And law enforcement could not do anything to deal with that. They took over. That's how huge a throng of people were there. And so I'm driving my vehicle, and I'm seriously considering getting out and, you know, just to see this, because I still fancy myself as a guy who wants to see those things and to be there. But for the first time in my life, discretion was a better part of valor. I knew law enforcement could not do anything to stop those people. They're rabid. They are really dangerous, dangerous people, armed with their AK-47s, all of their, you know, armament, male and female.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know.
The Women for Trump thing is one of the campaigns that I just really just completely don't understand at all. You know, grab her by the private parts. I'm not going to vote for you.
I never understood.
Mm-mm. That one, as a woman, that one makes me probably the most mad.
So why did women ignore that? The other part of it is looking at the track record of Donald Trump, mm-hmm. and how he's been disrespectful to women.
So many women.
Yeah.
So many women.
Why would women subject themselves to that?
He's even said nasty stuff about his own daughter.
I know.
I just can't. The Women for Trump, please explain to me what the appeal is. Please.
I don't know, other than the fact that he's a racist. And everybody knows he's a racist. That you know, maybe that's what made the people who support him, they believe in the racist and the bigot that he is, and so they can identify with him because maybe that's what they are. So, you know, that's the only reason that I would think that there's anybody who could follow. And the other part of it, an ignorant man. He's as ignorant as any. He's the most ignorant president that there's ever been in the history of the nation. By far, no other person as ignorant as Donald Trump has ever been able to ascend, and then he's a bully and a thug. And so that's what people identify with, And after all of the things that he's done, and those people are still waiting for him to return, as if he's Jesus Christ himself returning. This is what should be frightening about those people, because they're heavily armed. And so that's what's so frightening about them. But anyway, you know, so I went and I thought about getting, I was all alone, and I wanted to get out of my vehicle, but you know, I really, it didn't, it certainly, and this was after what they did at the Capitol, and I still thought about approaching them, but then I realized just how dangerous these people are. Thugs is what they are, thuggish people. When you talk about, you know, can't beat them, talking about thugs in the Central City, you know, the thugs and the Black Lives Matter in Central Cities and other parts of the nation didn't go into the Capitol and make the kind of threats and do the kind of damage that those people did, you know. And as if that doesn't matter, they want to forget that. They want to act as if that didn't occur. Well, you know, it was only a small group of people. I'm not, my lying eyes that we all saw didn't show a small group of people. What you saw were thugs. Well, they were good people, you know. They, Earl, you are, you're just not being truthful about it. These were good people. Good people, you say. And here's the other part of it. Fox News is not showing any of this because they don't want to have to deal with the realities of what took place. You know, what they are built on is vilifying everything and everybody else and uplifting themselves. So they're not going to, and this shows the cowardice of them, because they seem to know everything, but in this instance, they're not going to even take it on because they know there's no reason for what took place other than sedition. They know that what took place is on film. They can't lie. They can't hide. It's on film. And yet many of those who support them have not been willing to come forward and talk about the thuggish and criminal behavior of the right on that day. But those people in the Central City, they commit so many crimes. Sam, who do we have on the line?
Up first, we have Bill from Oconomowoc.
Hey, Bill, how you doing, man?
Hey, great, Earl. You've got a super, super show. What you're talking about, you know, this televising the hearings is spectacular. Because remember, that brought down Nixon.
Yes.
When it was televised, the Republicans said, we can't afford to be connected with this man. We've got to set him free. So I'm excited about these hearings. I hope it inflames these idiots on the far right. Remember, the FBI recognizes him as the number one threat in our country, right-wing terrorist.
Hey, say, Bill, repeat what you just said.
The FBI recognizes the far right wing is the number one threat to America.
The who?
The right wing terrorists.
No, the FBI, not Earl, not
right.
Bill from Oconomowoc.
Right.
The FBI,
right.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation said that.
Absolutely. And you know, when they said that about Trump had to fire Comey, and he admitted it to Mark Levin. He said, if I hadn't fired Comey, Comey would have fired me. Now, that's on tape, and he said it to Mark Levin. So he even knew he had crossed the line, and he had to get rid of the guy and smear him and Mueller and Russia, and make fun of it. Only a few people fell for it. Not all of America. If you look at the percentage of people that actually believe that, they were few and far between. But with a show like yours, it takes all the wind out of the sails of Dan O'Donnell and all these other Billing and all those other ones, because they don't have any facts to stand on.
Well,
stand on the facts, Earl.
Well, see, Bill, you know, you and I know that what those people did harkens back to one of the worst times in the history of this nation. That time and this one, the two worst times in the nation's history, that sedition happened. And so the Republican Party, again, no, Bill, Fox News, the bastion of supposed truth, is too afraid to show this. You know why? Because the people who listen to them are going to see some stuff that they never saw before and heard before because they didn't hear the truth on Fox News. So Fox doesn't
want to repeat that again. Repeat that.
Well,
I mean it. You got to repeat that all day long because that's exactly right.
Yeah,
and that comes out. Fox News can't run from it.
That's why they won't show it, because they haven't shown any of what really took place. Bill, thank you very much for the call. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Yes, I am talking about the thugs that attacked the Capitol January 6, 18 months ago, and who haven't paid the ultimate price that they should pay. When I hear Republicans talking about the criminals in the central cities, and it is Democrats and the crime rates and all of those things, I always say, I know what I saw on television that day. Many of us, those who claim to love law enforcement, watched as law enforcement was treated like rag dolls, like Raggedy Ann dolls, by thuggish Republicans and Trumpkins, MAGA. Well, they had the American flag. They were patriots. Oh, they were they? Yeah, everything's red, white, and blue. Red, white, and blue for Donald Trump, our hero, a thug. Criminal. And yet, even after all of those things, they're still supporting him, hoping we want him back. We want to go back to those times. Oh, you do you? Let's go to the phone lines. CJ.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Earl.
Yeah.
Hey,
why is Fox News not covering? Why is Fox News not covering this, man?
They are.
No, they're not. They're not on their main channel. Not on their main channel.
On
this. Yeah, okay. My point is.
And their podcast.
Well, I don't. Listen, man. Listen. Why not on the main Fox News outlet? Why not?
Because every other channel's covering
it.
That's
listen, man. Listen, man.
Business Network.
Listen, man. This is not. Hold on. Let me say this to you, and I'll let you compete. I'll let you, and then I'll let you respond.
Yep.
When there is a riot in Black Lives Matter, Fox News carries it on their main channel. They don't abdicate it to their business channel. Whenever there's something going on, well, look at them. Look at them. They're breaking into the stores. What thugs? I've seen this. And here you say, oh, well, they are covering it. They're covering it on their business channels. Come on, man. You don't see the difference in that? Go ahead.
They're number one for a reason, Earl.
They're number one because they are moronic. They are moronic. They are moronic people who think that what they are talking about is real. That's why they're number one.
I haven't heard one Republican say that the ones that caused injury or vandalism shouldn't be prosecuted. Not one. But the fact is, it took January 6th for the Democrats to all of a sudden care about crime. And every voter's seen it. Our State Street in Madison.
Hey, man, listen. I told you before. I'm not going to let you change the subject. That's correct. I'm not. If you want to have a conversation about what I'm talking about, if you want to have a discussion about what I'm talking about, which is fact,
I am.
Then, no, you're not. You're trying to change the subject to something else. Let me say this to you again, man, because you know I'm not going to allow you anymore.
So big in November.
I'm not going to allow you anymore on my show to call and change the subject. You may be able to do that on other shows, but from this point forward, CJ will fall in line. CJ will fall in line and follow the subject matter that we're talking about, or CJ can get in the wind. Okay? So it's a privilege that we let you on the airways. You don't have a right to be on this show. We allow you to be on the shows. So you're not going to control what it is, what I'm talking about. You may do that somewhere else, but you're willing to have a fair and open conversation about the subject matter that I'm talking about. And that's the fact that what happened on January 6th, that you and others like you want to sweep under the rug and then about what happened in Madison.
No, I don't.
Let's deal with that issue. Let's deal with that issue. So you said.
I started out with the ones that vandalized and caused injury. Many were there and taking selfies of the statues, not tearing them down. So the fact is.
What are you talking about?
One Republican has said those people shouldn't be prosecuted. This is political theater tonight. It's all about Donald Trump to you, but November's going to be about your candidate. And Nancy Pelosi's in charge of the security at the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol.
What does that have to do with the price of tea in China when those thugs, when those conservative thugs attacked the Capitol and made threats to kill elected officials?
They will be prosecuted.
No, it's not a matter of them being prosecuted. It's whether
not
conservatives like you have the intestinal fortitude and guts to be right and to talk about.
Well, I tell you what, Earl, Democrats in Kenosha are going to vote against the candidate.
So you can kick him. You can kick him to the curb. So I'm no longer going to waste my time, breath, and energy with a person who just is unwilling to face the realities of what is happening in this country. You know, he wants to talk about Racine and Kenosha when what happened to law enforcement in the Capitol on that day far outstrips anything that took place in Racine and Kenosha. And I'm not supporting that whatsoever. Said it at the time. Even went to Racine and Kenosha and did my covered my show live during that time. I was there. So for cowards like CJ and others like him who are unwilling to stand up and speak the truth, then, you know, I don't have much time left to waste on such a unforgiving person who somehow thinks that what he has to say that's not based on truth or facts has any place on my program anymore. So anyway, now that I've got that off my chest, I still am going to continue after we come back from break to point out what is going to be taking place and what I hope the American people will demand after these hearings. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, not the CJ Show. We'll be right back.
Touch the universe to the heaven's eye. Where is our love song? Our desperately needed song of love. Oh, hope and peace for you and me, for them and us.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And lo and behold, it is my friend, good friend, Mr. Max Richmond, who is the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Hey, Max, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you, Earl? Good to talk to you.
I'm always doing great when I have you on the line.
Great.
So what's happening now?
Well, you know, the trustees of the Social Security and Medicare programs issued their annual report a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I guess you could say it's good news and bad news. The good news is that the solvency of the trust fund was extended by a year from 2034 to 2035, which means the program is sound and able to pay full benefits until that point. But the bad news is we need some legislation to go beyond 2035, and that's, as you and I have talked about, bills that are out there to accomplish just that. But they haven't made it across the finish line. So that's what we've been working on to make sure that these programs continue to provide full benefits beyond 2035 and, in fact, improve some benefits in important ways.
So Max,
we can talk about.
Who can be opposed to that?
Well, the legislation that we support has over 200 co-sponsors in the House of Representatives. It's Congressman John Larson is the chairman of the Social Security Subcommittee of Ways and Means Committee. Over 200 co-sponsors, not one Republican. That's who's opposed to it.
But why would they be opposed? Because the last time I checked, as people reach the age of retirement and Social Security and Medicare, that includes people who call themselves Republicans. So,
right.
So why would they be opposed to that?
Their solution to making sure Social Security is strong.
Privatizing it.
Privatizing, cutting benefits, reducing the cost of living adjustment, raising the age for eligibility, all of those things. And and you know, raising the age, these are all benefit cuts. Even raising the age, if you raise the age for eligibility beyond 67, which it will be for everybody in a couple more years, you're reducing benefits. People are going to get less money for the time that they are eligible to get Social Security. So it's all about a different approach. It's more, you know, you're on your own. Take care of yourself. You know, I have talked to so many Republicans, and every time I meet somebody for the first time, they ask me what I do, and I say I'm with the Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Their response is always, well, I'm for that. But what does that mean? I ask them, when you say you're for it, how are you for it? Are you for protecting the program? Are you for expanding benefits? Or are you for privatizing it? Because if you're privatizing it or cutting benefits, you're not really for it. You're not really for it.
So Max, let's talk about what Republicans think is to be gained by privatizing it and putting it, you know, in the hands of you know, the vultures. What do they think is to be gained by that?
Well, Earl, I am sure you're going to be shocked that it all comes down to money.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
It's shocking. If Wall Street could get its hands on all that money,
right,
they'd be delighted. There's almost $3 trillion in the Social Security Trust Fund. It's invested in government bonds. It's not Wall Street's domain.
In other words, it's safe.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Right.
That's a good way to put it. But, you know, there's something that's kind of under the radar that we've been talking about as much as possible. There's a Republican senator from Florida, Senator Scott.
Oh, yes.
Happens to be, I think, he's the wealthiest member of the U.S. Senate, worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And his plan is to, what he wants these programs, Social Security, Medicare, to be, quote, sunsetted every 5 years. A lot of people say, oh, that sounds kind of benign. What does sunsetting mean? It means every 5 years the Congress would have to reenact, start from scratch, reenact Social Security and Medicare. And you know how hard it is even to pass a legislation naming a post office these days. Getting Social Security reenacted, starting all over again, would be virtually impossible. It wouldn't be the same program. But this senator isn't just some rank-and-file senator. He happens to be in charge of the Senate, a Republican Senate Campaign Committee. You know what that means. He's in charge of electing and re-electing Republicans to the U.S. Senate. So those, and doling out, you know, tens of millions of dollars to buy political ads. So those people who win those races, they're going to be very grateful to Senator Scott. And his proposal is likely to get a lot of support in the next Congress from those senators that he helps win elections.
But thankfully,
so this is a problem. This is a huge problem.
So, but thankfully for right now, Mitch McConnell has clearly stated that he's not supporting that. I mean, Mitch McConnell's not going to be around forever, and he's not somebody that we need to rely on for doing the right thing, right?
He's not going to be around forever. That may be a good thing. He's a very smart Republican leader, and he knows having that message out there will make it difficult to win elections in the U.S. Senate. So, of course, he's going to say that's not our plan, that's his plan. Nevertheless, it's out there. And there, you know, there some of the opponents, I call them opponents, even though they save their for Social Security. They're very reluctant to say, oh, we're gonna cut benefits, because they know that's not politically popular. Poll after poll has shown that across party lines, you know, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, by huge majorities, support Social Security, support improving it, expanding it. So they're going to say, well, we're not for cutting benefits. We're for things like you and I have been talking about, privatizing. We're for raising the age for getting benefits. We're for changing the way the cost of living adjustment is computed. They have a proposal that's been floating around for a few years called the chain CPI, and that would mean the COLA, the cost of living adjustment for inflation, would take into account if the price of something goes up, you're going to substitute something cheaper, and that gets you a lower COLA. So there are a lot of ways to skin that cat, and without saying we're for cutting Social Security. But the bottom line is all of these things I've just been talking about reduce benefits, and that means cutting Social Security.
You know, Max, maybe I haven't said it before, but I'll say it now. I love my Social Security check. I really do. You know, I love Medicare. I was just at the doctor's office on yesterday and had a test run. And my only insurance is Medicare, you know. So if I was to go in without my Medicare and have the test I had run on yesterday, and I was a senior person, there's no way I could have afforded to have that done.
Right. You're not alone.
No, and so what it does is it's reassuring to those of us who have to be concerned as we age, you know, things, you know, the body and was only made to survive so long, and so now the older you get, the more you have to do preventative things. Imagine if that wasn't there.
Right.
So I really just don't understand those foolish people on the right who don't understand. Well, they got to understand it, but whatever belief is they have to think that doesn't, the average American who is not wealthy, that's their lifeline.
Right. No, you're absolutely right, and you know there's a lot of misunderstanding about some of these programs. And you remember some of the ads a few election cycles ago, where there were people saying, "I want the government to stay out of my Medicare."
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Well, Medicare is the government program for health care for seniors. But it's this whole approach of anti-government, you know, keep the government out of the bedroom, out of our guns, you know, that whole philosophy. And that's part of what's driving the opposition to the Social Security and Medicare programs.
You know, for those who are blessed and fortunate, you know, Max, that the Social Security check comes and I never have to worry about it because I really don't need it. It just goes into my account and I don't give it a second
right.
thought. God bless you. But for all of those like me who, you know, need it, I can't even begin to think how I could live without it. Got to go to a break.
Yeah.
Max, can you hang on a second?
Absolutely.
All right. Max Wright Richmond. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Max Richmond. He is the president and help me out, Max.
National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. That's a lot of
CEO.
Words, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. President and CEO. So, Max, we are at a time now in our society where, you know, people are making less money than they were a couple of decades ago. And they're working full time. And they're certainly not able to salt away resources. And as time moves on and baby boomers, you like you and I, are no longer on the scene, that there are people who are going to still be here as they enter into the time life cycle that you and I are in now. And there's got to be, we've got to make sure, because the term is preserve, to make sure that it's still there. I mean, 2035 is around the corner. And
right.
And it has to be prioritized. And you guys have been fighting this for a long time. What do you need from the citizenry to back you up and support you guys in this fight, which is really a fight for us?
Right. Well, first of all, Earl, I hope that both you and I are on the scene for a little while longer.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know, so do I.
Okay. But really, I think the key to preserving, is the word you used, and part of our name of our organization, the Social Security, is figuring out a way to bring more revenue into it, into the program, to extend the solvency beyond 2035. Because you're right, that's around the corner. Be here before you know it. I think the main approach to that is to change the way Social Security taxes, FICA taxes, are computed, calculated. Right now, and I know you and I have talked about this, there's a limit on the wages subject to the payroll tax, and it's $147,000, about $147,000 per year. And it changes a little bit every year. It goes up a little bit. But that's what it is for 2022. We have supported for years getting rid of that limit and collecting payroll taxes beyond it. Politically, that's probably not possible. But there are proposals. There's the Congressman John Larson's legislation in the House. I just talked to him yesterday. We think we're going to get something out of the House soon. That would keep the limit at what it is. It's called the wage cap, but then start collecting payroll taxes at $400,000 and above in wages. There are proposals in the Senate that would change that to $250,000. You know, it used to be 30, 40 years ago, about 92-93% of wages were subject to the payroll tax. Right now, it's closer to 80%. Why? The wealthy have become so much wealthier that the percentage of payroll that is subject has been reduced. So we ought to at least bring it back to what it's been historically, which would bring more money into the program and extend the solvency of the Social Security program. Yeah, I've done hundreds of town hall meetings, including in your state, all around the country. A lot of people don't even realize there's a cap on wages subject to the payroll tax because they've never made that kind of money,
right.
And that's, they assume
and never
you,
will.
You work, yeah, you work. You pay. You have withholding for your FICA tax, And that's what happens, but that's not true. I mean, there. The other point, the other point that we have been looking at seriously, and in fact, I just finished putting together a viewpoint for our website on this, is we should start looking at collecting taxes, Social Security taxes, on earnings besides wages. A lot of people in the last couple of decades have started getting their payment for their jobs through unearned income and not just wages. So maybe there's a way to get some revenue on that unearned income because, you know, situation has changed. Fewer people are getting most of their income through wages, and so there might be an opening to raise more revenue beyond the way it's been done for Social Security purposes since 1935. What we shouldn't be doing is cutting benefits, however you want to talk about that, because they're pretty modest. The average is about $16,000 or $17,000 a year, which means that a lot of people make a lot less than that in Social Security. And we really ought to be talking about improving the minimum benefit, the way the COLA is calculated. We ought to stay away from cutting benefits totally.
Max, let me ask you, because many of us are aware of the fact that the fund was raided several times by both Democrats and Republicans. Did they ever put that money back?
Well, that's a subject of a lot of mythology.
Oh, okay.
The money has never been, in fact, raided. It has been there. As I mentioned, there's almost $3 trillion in the trust fund by design. More money has been paid in payroll taxes than was needed to pay benefits to build up this reserve to start, and it's been tapped into in the last few years when not enough was paid in payroll taxes to cover all benefits. So this reserve, it's called the trust fund. There's not almost $3 trillion in cash sitting somewhere. It's invested in government bonds, and in that sense, it is used as for government expenses. That those bonds are, they're real, they're rolled over regularly, the interest is paid on those bonds, which is why even though in the last couple of years less money was paid in payroll taxes than was needed to pay full benefits, the size of the trust fund actually grew because of the interest that was applied on those bonds. So the money is sound, it's solid, it's there, and anybody that starts talking about the program being corrupt, there's no money there. There's just a bunch of IOUs with, you know, maybe Earl Ingram's name on little scraps of paper. That's not the way it works. It's invested in government bonds.
Hey, Max, we got to go. Thank you very much, my friend. It's always great talking to you. Until we meet again.
Well, I hope I'm out in your part of the country someday.
Yes, we're looking forward to it. Got to go. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.